You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
Yes, hello everyone. Welcome to the annual International One of Us Chess Championship. Of course, I am Mindy, your commentator, and today it is a thrilling competition. First off, we have Harmony, of course, representing Kasnia. Kasnia always involved in chess tournaments due to them not realizing the Cold War is actually over. What do you have planned for your next move, Miss Harmony?
Absolute domination.
Indeed. And I see that, oh, of course, pawn to rook 7, the classic, I am going to figure this out as I go, gambit, made popular in the 1972 championships. And of course, with her competition is Elliot from Zootopia. What do you plan to do versus Harmony's gambit put in place?
I'm going to pull the move that I believe is called the Azerbaijanian.
Of course. And we have knight to bishop 3, which causes it to spontaneously combust, also known as the Remy LeBeau gambit. And that, oh, what is this? Someone is actually entering from the doors, stripped naked, and has tossed over the chessboard in a classic checkers bitch move, made famous, of course, during the United States versus Namibia of 1782, chess is that old. And of course, we will go to our championship trophy. In there is the insignia of our latest One of Us review, The Queen's Gambit, in our latest series based on the novel by Walter Trevis. If one of you could read the insignia that tells the synopsis of the series.
So basically, we've got Beth Harmon, a unfortunate child who ends up in an orphanage, as all waifs apparently do, and learns chess to kind of get out of the misery that is that life. And is a marvel and a woman at that. And this short series of about 7 episodes detail her life from childhood prodigy to adult prodigy and all the bullshit in between.
Indeed, right? And that bullshit involves things like alcoholism and drug use, yeah. Involves being orphaned at a young age, and it takes place during the 50s through the late 60s. And just what it means to be a prodigy, what it means to be a woman, what it means to live your life and find yourself among all these bad circumstances.
Yeah. And then there's chess. There's a lot of chess.
There's
a lot of chess.
There is a lot of chess. So how do you folks feel about this series? It is self-contained. It is a mini series, not season 1. So how did you feel how it did the story?
I think it did the story well. It took me a little bit to get past kind of the misery that is orphanages. Mm. I have a real hard time seeing that. It was so dreary and dismaying and stressful that that part was very hard for me to get through. But once I started getting into the later parts of her story and actually focusing on the really neat storytelling they're doing with the chess plays themselves. Like, I don't know anything about chess. Like, I am not a chess person at all, but I was fascinated and actually enjoyed the chess matches a whole lot in this.
Yeah, that was one of the more surprising things. I mean, I've played chess plenty. I do not know chess besides castling. I think that's the only sort of named move that I know. This show never quite focuses on the actual chess matches, like the movement of the pieces.
Kinda.
It kinda does, but it... Not really, you know? I mean, even a very sort of novice chess player is going to be okay with what they're showing you on the screen, but it really was still able to maintain this tension and this thrill that I thought was absolutely great for every chess match. I mean, there's a lot of emotion throughout the series, but the real thrills come from when she's playing these chess matches, and the fact that they were able to maintain that without really forcing you to know what exactly she's doing on the board and what her opponent is doing, I thought was one of the absolute highlights, best things about this miniseries.
I thought it was really neat that you could read it on the actors' faces, the characters' faces. Like,
yeah,
is that a good move?
Right.
I don't know.
And they also have sort of like chess scoreboards for the audience. Mm-hmm. But even that, they don't linger on that too long. Not so much that you need to like read the board. So yeah, I just found that absolutely fantastic. Really skillful filmmaking right there.
Well, that was actually one of the things that kind of miffed me about it, because it was so engaging. And that's hard to do. I mean, it's a chessboard. It's a board of pieces. You move over here, over here, over here. There's a timer. I mean, it's not an engaging game visually. It's not like football where you're running down and you're throwing balls and you're kicking. Mm-hmm. No, it's boop.
And then making not eye contact.
And then eye contact. I mean, that's it.
Slapping the clock.
Bam, right? But the actors and the way it was shot did make it very engaging. There are conversations that several characters have about gambits and about different chess matches and how the pieces moved. And, you know, there's one point where she loses and she's talking to her mom about, it's like, he did this, 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 this. And it's like, I have no idea what that means, but apparently it's important.
That sucks that it happened to you.
It sucks that it happened to you. So it's like the little me that was like, I want to know what this means, because you make it seem important. Yeah. And the fact that if you're not in chess and know what these things are, you're not going to know. I mean, there is a little hint of frustration in that, but because they make it engaging, you want to know more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, is that a bad thing?
No, I don't think so.
It's not at all. So, I mean, we're touching on that a little bit. How did you feel about the portrayal of chess specifically? I get the picture, or at least the gist, that we all thought that it was done very well.
Yeah, it was masterful how they took, even like when she's in like a drug-induced haze and is imagining things on the ceiling, they made it very interesting. Like, I've watched chess be played before and had never felt that need to like really learn it. I'm like, it would be kind of like snobbish to learn how to do, and I appreciate any way I can be snotty. That's great. But to watch this, it actually made me turn to my husband and says, like, will you teach me how to play chess? This looks amazing. I think it was portrayed in a way that, like you said, had that tension, kept you engaged. And even when they were doing like little montages, and usually I hate montages. I get why you tell a story this way, is because you're trying to get through a span of time in a narrow window. Mm-hmm. But even that, I was just like, yeah, that's cool. I like this.
Yeah, I mean, I think I said as much. I thought the chess was really handled quite well. I thought they were able to communicate without you having to be anything other than someone who's sort of culturally familiar with chess or familiar through osmosis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about the rest of it? Because yes, this focuses on Beth as she goes to these chess tournaments, but there's also a good chunk about her having to deal with the fact that she was orphaned as a young age because her mom tried to kill her.
Yes.
And living in an orphanage and then having, you know, several men that she doesn't really be able to form relationships with, and then her adopted mother, and then her adoptive father who doesn't want to have anything to do with her. So it's like, how did you feel it dealt with the coming of age, I guess, aspect of the story? And did it fit into the chess part of the story?
I don't know what it's like to be like super smart or brilliant at any given thing, so I can only just kind of hazard a guess based on all the other things I've seen. But it's got to be really tough to be the only anything in any field, right? So I kind of feel like the drug use and the alcohol use makes sense in this context. Like, it is very stressful, and she feels like she couldn't face it without her brain being foggy. It's just too much crap going on. And she was just able to be intuitive and move pieces and just be phenomenal with it. It makes a lot of sense if you're trying to like self-medicate she almost reads to me like a person on the autism spectrum, like the very first half of it or so. And again, not to speak ill of anybody on the autism spectrum at all. Oh, it no. reads that very literal minded, very
focused,
uncomfortable, almost awkward in situations. And a lot of people, the drug of choice will be alcohol to self-medicate in those kind of situations. So I got that and could follow that pretty closely.
Well, and of course, she definitely inherited the alcoholism from her mom. I mean, she was
She said that her mom never drank.
Well, her adoptive mom. That was a big thing, was her adoptive mother was an alcoholic. The main character, whose name is Beth Harmon, I think I already said that, is, I think, predisposed towards an addictive personality. And the fact that her adoptive mother was an alcoholic predisposed her to the alcohol. But she was also...
And had access to the pills.
Right, yeah, exactly. But she was also big into tranquilizers, I think. That was sort of came on later.
That was from the very first thing. The blue and green pills were tranquilizers from the very beginning.
I wish they had done more with that, because it's like... The focus was on the chess, and yes, the chess was really engaging, and watching her become a better player was very much a part of her growing as a person. But it felt like a lot of her addictive personality stuff, A, didn't really have a lot of consequence, and B, didn't really show up all that much except in kind of a pretty kind of way. Like, there's one episode where she's going out of control by being miffed that she's hungover right before a competition. And her neighbors see that there's like recycling bins that have a whole bunch of bottles.
Wine bottles, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't see the destruction caused by that. It's like these are very pretty moments of, I'm going out of control. See me going out of control? And it's like, no, that's not going out of control. That's you pretending to be going out of control. And having it connect to, very clearly, you're doing this because you haven't gotten over the fact that your mom tried to kill you, your dad didn't want you, you grew up in an orphanage and nobody really wanted you there either. You trying to connect to men and it doesn't really work because of all this trauma, so you take the pills. It felt too pretty in those regards. And it didn't really connect the grief with the addiction, which I really wish they had done more.
I think the addiction storyline also kind of ends way too abruptly.
Yes.
And without any sort of real world...
consequence?
I mean, yeah, consequences, but like, it just doesn't even feel real. It was like, gotta end the storyline, let's just yada yada yada, she's no longer addicted.
Yeah, and then at the end, it's like, and of course it's setting up as, I am able to be a victor despite these pills, but it's like, it doesn't really show that there was any stakes in that aspect of it. I mean, there were stakes in the fact that she was going up against the best player in the world, but in comparison to her playing with the pills and playing without them, I know I didn't feel like the stakes were there.
Yeah, I feel like the consequences or whatever were kind of hinted at as, you know, she's just out of control or whatever, but she didn't seem out of control. She just seemed miserable.
Right.
Which is not the same to me as being like out of control. She was just really miserable without the pills and alcohol, but she seemed like she was just as good of a player. So yeah, that lack of consequences is kind of startling. Yeah.
And how did you feel about it being a period piece? How did you feel about any of the actors? Was there anything about this that stood out in the portrayal of the world and of the people within it?
I mean, I thought that it looked really good. Mm-hmm. I didn't mind it being a period piece at all, especially because a lot of sort of the more famous chess players, the whole sort of historical... I think setting it during the Cold War was a really smart idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I mean, chess doesn't really... nobody really cares about it anymore, mainly because the Cold War is over and there isn't the stakes that it used to have.
Yeah, people might know Magnus Carlsen, but yeah, that's about it. So I think, yeah, centering it in that era when I think there was sort of a more public importance put on chess, if not just because of the Cold War, was definitely a smart idea. Yeah, I thought it looked great. I think it had sort of Mad Men quality of set design costumes. And costumes. I really love the costumes. Beth has a lot of great outfits.
She does. She looks so pretty.
It is a very pretty series to watch. It's very cool and hip. In the way that the 60s could only be if you were a white person, I suppose.
Right. And every sort of chess championship has its own
style.
Scoreboard so that the audience can sort of follow along what's going on with the game. You know, they'll have like a bigger chessboard where they're moving around the pieces in correspondence with what the people are doing on the table, and some people just had sort of magnets slapped on a board. As she gets into better and better tournaments,
they get fancier and fancier.
They get fancier and fancier. You know, the French had these sort of
I love the ones that were just the chess pieces that they moved up and down.
Yeah, the French have these sort of chess pieces that just have pegs in the back and they move up and down. And this isn't really spoilers, but the final confrontation is in Russia.
I mean, it's the Cold War. Of course, it's going to be Russia.
It's the Cold War. And it's like the room they're holding it in almost looks like a prison or something.
Right. It's so dark.
It's so dark.
Yeah, it's so Soviet gulag. It's awful.
Yeah. It's like ringed with sort of iron catwalks and little booths that have like sports announcers, but they're calling a chess game. There's people on the floor that are like shouting moves back up to them.
Going outside.
Yeah, I mean, they really sort of innovated each place. They didn't just stick with the same sort of thing for everything, you know, because her first real match is in a high school, which is a very simple. I don't think there is any sort of scoreboard. It's just a bunch of people crowded around her watching her play this chess game, which happens a lot.
I feel like it was very stylized. Definitely. Like, it really felt like, I mean, I'm not old enough to know what the 60s feel like, but I know what the shows about the 60s feel like, and it felt like that. And each locale, it's like if you do like a convention circuit or anything like that, like all conventions kind of feel the same, but they're going to be stylized differently depending on where you're at. So whether she was in Kentucky or Mexico City or Houston or Paris or Russia, you know, it was still obviously like it was a chess tournament, but you had that different feel for each area, kind of like how much money they put into it, like you're talking about the chessboard. But it must still kind of feel the same to be going and doing this kind of circuit of chess tournaments. I just know because I do sci-fi conventions, or I used to before the world broke. But it had that same kind of feeling. It's like there was things that were very similar that you could see in each place, and so you knew what was there, but everything was very differently stylized for the region. So
it was definitely very beautiful. I know my husband and I were watching it, and he's like, they got those time periods down. So it's like, that was very nice and very aesthetically pleasing to look at.
Yes.
So how about we get into final thoughts? Elliot, how about you start?
I really like the series. I think there was a lot of really good writing. I think the acting pretty much across the board was top notch. I don't think there was a performance I didn't like. Anya Taylor-Joy, she's been in plenty of stuff. The Witch, I thought she was excellent in this. So this just reaffirmed for me that she, I think, is one of the best working actors. Someone we haven't talked about is Jolene, who is a black girl who first appears as one of Beth's orphanage mates.
Moses Ingram is the actress's name.
Moses Ingram, yeah. So she plays like a 15-year-old, I guess, and then comes back playing like a late 20-year-old.
Right.
And somehow manages to do both very, very convincingly.
Yes.
Thought she was great. Jacob Fortune Lloyd as Towns, who dresses like a trench coat cowboy.
No, that's that Towns. Benny Watts is the trench coat cowboy.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah, Jacob Fortune Lloyd is the gay photographer.
Right. Yes, that's right. Who was also great. So Thomas Brody Sangster as Benny Watts. I thought he knocked it out of the park. He's got this very sort of confident swagger.
Yeah.
I think the addiction plot line was probably the weakest thing in here. But again, I think that worked until it didn't. It still worked on some levels, but it never really wrapped up well in the end. I don't think I have too many other bad things to say about this. The dialogue was great. It looked great. The performances were great. It's sort of the themes of chess and then sort of the moving pieces within Beth's own life were great. I think just doing this review has made me more positive about this show. So I'm going to have to give it a 9 out of 10 Sicilian moves.
That works.
And how about you, Harmony?
I really enjoyed it once I could get past like child endangerment. Like, I had to get past that part. Like, and it took me a bit to be like, okay, she's still in the orphanage and she's still miserable in this other episode. Oh God. You know, like, her acting, Anya Taylor-Joy, she is so doe-like and so wide-eyed and earnest. And it was just kind of like really easy to be drawn into her character. She does come off kind of awkward and very literal. And like I said, in that almost autism spectrum, but that is really endearing when she's kind of starts becoming more of her own person. You get more drawn into her. It's just amazing. And you root for her. Like, I couldn't imagine rooting for anybody in chess that I didn't know. You know, like, I got emotionally invested into this. So you want her to win. You want her to do well. Besides the whole talk of, like, feminism for the storyline, you know, of her being a woman in a male-dominated sport, if you want to call it. Yeah. I don't know, is chess a sport? I'm not sure. It felt like a sport.
It's considered a sport, actually.
So with all of that, I was, like I said, really drawn into the story. I enjoyed it. I think it's good for anybody who's looking for something, a female-centric lead in a man's world, if you will. So just getting past child endangerment and kids taking tranquilizers, you know, if you can get past that part, I think the rest of it's fine. I think I'm going to give this an 8.2 out of 10 trench coat cowboys. I don't know what else to give it. It's a very stylized show. Yeah.
I agree with you guys. I thought this show was very well done. Aesthetically, it was absolutely beautiful. It captured the time periods really well. We've all mentioned Anya Taylor-Joy. And, you know, despite the fact that she is rather doe-like and rather kind of, not a hard wall, but does have a wall put up, she is still able to be really engaging and still able to be really interesting and somebody that you are happy to take these 7-episode journey with. And the fact that these people are able to make chess engaging and interesting, and you're like, what's gonna happen? Is she gonna win? And, you know, and have that kind of excitement that comes from live sports in a game where literally the only action is pick up piece, put down, tap butt.
And stare.
And stare. So that was...
Lots of emoting.
Yes. I do wish that there had been more of a focus on her addiction and how it connected to her grief, because it was there, but it wasn't really utilized very well, and it was made rather pretty, which kind of defeats the purpose of both of those things. And then when it got to the 7th episode, it just kind of ended because everything was put up in a happy little bow, because all these hardships, everybody just decided to stand behind her anyway. So the pretty little bow that got her to her last match is just kind of like, huh, really? That's rather cliche. But in the grand scheme of things, that wasn't too bad. It certainly didn't detract from the final battle, as it were. It's a good time, which is surprising when it's a book about chess, you know? And some of the more flashy stuff was replaced by characterization about learning who she was, which is like, well, I mean, if that's what I'm gonna get in replacement, you know, I suppose that's not bad. So I'ma give it 8.8 Nights in Bangkok. That's where the world's your oyster. The bars are temples, but the pearls ain't free.
Yep.
You'll find a god in every golden cluster.
Yep, and we can stop.
Checkmate on you, Harmony! Checkmate!
Always go out on a song.